What a goal!
The Premier League is back.
Immerse yourself in football.
Who else but Erling?
Great stories you get from them, as well as obviously the football knowledge.
Become a member now and join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod.
On Off The Ball.
With William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 42 of The Racing Pod on Off The Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tip stories, interviews and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up now by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we're going to focus on Sunday's Champions Festival races at the Curragh. So subscribe now. Johnny, how is the form?
Very well, JD. Yeah, I'm in Ballinrobe today. It's Ballinrobe's last meeting of the year, and it's fair to say, JD, it's a special 4 days of racing, culminating obviously in our trip to Laytown on Monday. But in between, we have Irish Champions Festival, and we have the Ledger as well, just as an add-on. So it's this is a cracking weekend of racing.
We'll get to the Laytown frolics in a bit, Johnny. But the Champions Festival, why is it important? Leopardstown tomorrow, the Curragh on Sunday. I suppose this is the best of flat racing, isn't it?
The best of flat racing, yeah. Like, it spawned, the Dublin Racing Festival over the jumps as well, which has taken off. And that was a product of this idea, which was the product of Joe Foley, was one of the people from Ballyhainstow. He was one of the people involved. And he had this idea of making this weekend of flat racing. So bringing the likes of the Champion Stakes and the Ledger together over one weekend of racing, and all those really good two-year-old races, the Matron and the Handicaps as well. I love the idea of us, you know, Leopardstown and the Curragh are essentially our two premier tracks for flat racing, and I'll be going on Sunday with cousins over from America. Might even bring my nipper racing for the first time, and it's a place I have a strong affinity for the Curragh. And Leopardstown tomorrow is, Leopardstown is the pick of the two, arguably, in terms of the quality of the racing, although you could argue the point. But it's our premier proper premier flat 2 days of racing, JD. Take out the classics. There's a nominal classic here in the shape of the Ledger. Take out the classic meetings. This is the best, and even the classics. This is just Champion Stakes or premier flat race, and it's fantastic race. We even have a horse over from Japan. Obviously, loads of horse over from Britain, and it's the best we have to offer.
Just going through some of the past winners of the Champion Stakes at Leopardstown. You have Pilsudski, Swain, Delamy, Giants Causeway, Fantastic Light, High Chaparral, Dylan Thomas won it a couple of times, New Approach, See the Stars, the Derby winners, you know, Golden Horn, Snow Fairy, Magical a couple of times, and Augusta Rodin last year.
Yeah, and it's fillies against colts, or it should be most years. No, it's all the males this year, but it's mile and a half horse against milers. It's older horse against younger horses at a track that can be a little bit tricky as well. Leopardstown, it has everything. JD, my first renewal of the race was Falbrav and High Chaparral. Falbrav should have won the race, didn't. High Chaparral won, got kind of an optimum ride, and Daryl Holland found Leopardstown to be a tricky place. And we have Shane Emperor coming over for Japan tomorrow, and I hope his rider is conscious that Leopardstown can be a tricky track, particularly as we see it was the case last year. Ballydoyle/Coolmore kind of has its hands on the race in a tactical sense, and we've had amazing renewals. You know, I suppose the one between Fantastic Light and Galileo is probably the one that would come to mind for the most memorable renewal, but there'll be a lot of others since.
And then the St. Ledger on Sunday, I suppose the horse that is most associated with is Vinnie Rowe, won it four times in a row. Often it's a stepping stone to the Melbourne Cup, and that's what they're hoping with Vauban again. Willie Mullins won't be the favourite. Kyprios will be the favourite on Sunday, but Vauban, I think that's the route.
Taking on Giavolato as well, Kyprios, which I actually couldn't believe this. They've never raced against each other. Giavolato is a fairly well-established horse in the staying division, and Kyprios has been around for a long time now. And he's a strange one, JD. Like, he obviously goes off shortage prices, but every time he runs, I seem to ask myself, why didn't I back him, or why was he so... why was he such a backable price? Particularly Goodwood, the last time he was sent off 8-13 against horses like he should beat every day of the week. He had a near-death experience, not to mind a near-career-ending experience in the not-too-distant past. And I can see him on Sunday going off, or being available at least at even money. And, you know, the trip is maybe a bit shorter than ideal for him, but he just keeps winning, and I can't wait to see him.
12 wins from 16 starts. A bit like Big Bucks, who used to be a great jumps horse. He always just did enough, and he was deceptive in that you think he's always going to get beat, but he didn't.
And Big Bucks actually was a bit like that as well. At times, he was, I remember one Cheltenham, he was even money, and I couldn't figure it out. But I think with Kyprios, you know, he's just so reliable, and he was stoked up early enough at Goodwood the last day to get prominence, and maybe they did want him to be caught out in a tactical race. But like, Aidan O'Brien has gone on the record a few times now and saying this horse would be very good over a mile and two. And we're not, I mean, for me, he should be running in the Arc rather than the Prix de Cadran, just to see how he get on. If the Arc came up soft, we saw the likes of Westerner running very well in the Arc as a stayer, I'd go there. He's a very, very good horse, but, you know, he's so flawless the way he goes about, and probably saves a bit for himself, as you say, JD, a bit like Big Bucks.
Michael Stout will retire at the end of the season. What a career. All those Derby wins, six Derby wins, won everything. Won the Arc. Shergar, obviously the horse probably most associated with him. Grew up in Barbados. Just had an amazing career as a trainer over decades, Johnny.
Yeah, I was actually on an Odds Checker podcast with Rishi Prasad on in London on Tuesday, and Rishi was going on about one of his horses, and he said he's trained, one of the reasons I love him is that he's trained by Sir Michael Stout. And I'd say within half an hour of my leaving the office in London in White City, the news came through that Sir Michael Stout was about to retire. I suppose like we're used to these kind of outliers in racing where you've Kevin Prendergast is, you know, he's training into his 90s, and we have, you know, Jim Bulger in his 80s, Dermot well into his 70s. Even John Oxenham is surprised. We're kind of accustomed to trainers training on well into their advanced years. Michael Stout will be 80 in just over a year. And to be fair, you know, JD, his stock had definitely, or not his stock, but his stock in equine sense had gone back a lot in recent years. He just didn't have the numbers. But he's left a huge imprint on the game, particularly Shergar, obviously, but the, you know, the likes of in more recent years, you know, Workforce Harbinger, North Light, Chris Kane, Ulysses Islington, Horse like that. And I actually think Islington might even have run in that Champion Stakes that I watched all those years ago with Falbrav, one of the big horses in that race. But Michael Stout, you know, a man who, there was a good line in the race post about him being really engaging in an interview, but actually a lot quieter in public. I read Richie Forrest's article as well, where basically his campaigning of horses made Richie fall in love with racing, and I only have to wish him the very best luck in his retirement. I'll always consider him kind of part of that Ryan Moore story, as well as Ryan Moore grew as a jockey. Him and Stouty were the ones to go to. But yeah, hopefully he has an enjoyable retirement.
Yeah, well said. And Workforce still has the Derby record at Epsom, a race going back to 1780. So this Champion Stakes, 3:25 Leopardstown on Saturday. Good ground, 1 mile, two, eight runners. Auguste Rodin, like, I don't know about with this horse. I mean, he won the race last year. He seems to need a break between his races. He won the Derby at Epsom and the Irish Derby and the Breeders' Cup Turf. But he's also flopped badly in four big races. Ryan Moore rides. What's your opinion on him?
The race itself is kind of, you could debate in terms of its quality and how much of a vintage race it is. But, I mean, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that we've last year's winner in Auguste Rodin. We've the previous year's winner in Luxembourg. And we have the Irish Derby winner in Los Angeles, who obviously followed up at York. And they're just three runners representing the same colours and connections that of Aidan O'Brien. The race is really fascinating. And with the World Pool as well, JD, and the you know, the people betting colossal amounts of money into this, particularly in the Far East, in theory anyway, we have the eight runners, and this makes a massive difference to the race. If this race were seven runners, maybe it's a psychological thing with me, but I'm far happier when you have the eight runners. You can back each way, and particularly when you've a horse as short as Economics at the top. I'm not really convinced, and I'm certainly not alone in this. I'm not convinced that Auguste Rodin should be so much bigger in the betting than Economics, who obviously won the Dante and then won in France, but hasn't really taken on proper good horses yet. And Auguste Rodin, on his day, is still a really, really good racehorse. He won this race last year, and he only beat Luxembourg by half a length, but he won it readily enough. I was actually a shade disappointed in the race, JD, last year, because I was really looking forward to it. We had the eight runners, and Ballydoyle / Coolmore turned it into a race that was really, really dominated by the operation tactically. And I hope this year, with the horse from Japan over, we've Ghost Rider Economics, Royal Ryan coming over as well. I hope that, you know, Ballydoyle and Coolmore, just for the sake of the sport, don't get an absolute freebie up front again.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. The one I like is Ghost Rider, right? So probably wants top of the ground. Unlucky fourth in Newmarket in the Guineas. Then third on two occasions behind City of Troy. If we think City of Troy is Pegasus, then that's a positive. These were in the Judmont and the Eclipse. I think at 8-1, this horse has got an each-way chance. Ghost Rider, that's the one for me.
Absolutely, has an each way chance. If City of Troy were to run in this race, he'd be odds on. I don't think we can argue that point. Now, he hasn't run against economics, but as you say, Ghostwriter has given two very good accounts of himself behind the great horse City of Troy the last twice, and he was rather keen at York the last day. That was a kind of a slightly messy race. I think he might be better in that form. Been well backed as well, JD. I know you like talking up the horse who've been backed as we record the show on the Friday in recent days. This horse was definitely available at double figures. 3-year-old coming over for Clive Cox. He's very, very reliable. He's a horse that the ground will be no issue to him at all. And he has enough pace to kind of lie up handy in a race that my selection, I'm not entirely sure about him having enough pace, but we'll get to that. Ghostwriter, definite chance.
Yeah, Shin Emperor, fifth in the Japanese Guineas, third in their Derby. It's impossible to compare the form, but it's great to see a Japanese rider over here. Will he have the pace for it? I don't know. He's only run on fast ground.
I just love this story. He's a brother to Sotsass, who won the Ark and then went on to be a sire for Coolmore. But Sotsass actually ran in this race with the view to run in the Ark, which wasn't especially remarkable at the time because, you know, he was obviously based where he was based. I think he was beaten two lengths by Magical in this race, and then he won the Ark on different ground. But Shin Emperor is his full brother. So you've a trainer who's very well regarded, trainer from Japan, who's decided that, hey, this horse is French bred. Let's try to emulate what his brother did and win the Ark. So they've sent him over. He's been training in France. Connections have said he's taken to the French cuisine very well, which isn't a problem for us humans, but apparently for horses you can take time to acclimatise, and this lad is just, he's kind of embraced it as though it were his homeland, which I suppose it is. But watch back that race the last day in the Japanese Derby, JD. I'm like you, I'm not going to bluff and say I know anything about Japanese form, but generally middle distance horses in the Far East, think of Deep Impact running the Ark, middle distance horses in Japan, they're very, very strong, and he was third in that race. But he really, really, he stayed on strongly, nearly beat the favourite who was second in a messy, messy race. I thought it was an outstanding run. I'm nearly inclined to back him more for the Ark than this race in a sense, but I'm going to back him for this race as well. I feel a mile and two on fast ground will be the minimum for him, even though he ran well over a mile and two prior to that. I think a mile and a half will suit him better. But if they go a good gallop and something takes on the horse up front, he's a very, very big price. He's overpriced for me.
Well, if he wins, Johnny, as the Affadil song said, he'll be big in Japan. So,
I'll be big in Japan. Absolutely. Wouldn't we all love to be big in Japan?
So Shin Emperor for you, what price are you getting on that?
Just looking here, 16-1 is available. William Hill, 14-1. That should be freely available tomorrow. And as I say, JD, that vital aspect of the three each-way places, it's not a rotten each-way race because nearly everything has a chance, bar Hans Anderson. Royal Rhyme's a big price, but I'd be disappointed if this horse can't be in the first four and hopefully staying on to be in the first three. Between the three sort of main Ballydoyle horses, it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of them disappointed. But this horse is only three, he's a bit of a blank canvas. August Rodin ain't improving. The vibes are very good about August Rodin, but he's hardly improving at this stage of his life. So 14-1, 16-1, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, let's not forget Los Angeles as well, won the Irish Derby and only beaten once in his career at Epsom. So Ryan Moore does prefer August Rodin, but Los Angeles can't be discounted, and Luxembourg also in with a chance as well. The Matron Stakes at Leopardstown on Saturday, 250 a mile to 10 runners, fillies and mares. Difficult to work this one out, I think. We're probably looking at Porta Fortuna being the favourite. Fallen Angel won the Irish 1000 guineas. Do you have an assessment?
It's a very unusual race. You have 10 different stallions: Kodiak, Havana, Great Zubawi, Two Darren Hot, Tamio's, Caravaggio, Star Spangled Banner, Knight of Thunder, Ulysses Frankel. So you have a couple of the top stallions there, but a lot of these are sort of run-of-the-mill sires, and one of them is Tamio's, I may say, who's the sire of Jancis. Now, you know, at that same Odds Checker podcast, I was with two English racing fans on the show, and both were very keen on this Jancis. So we're like, okay, happy days, I fancy it as well. And then yesterday, lo and behold, Billy Lee, who I presume had the choice between Versatillo and Jancis for the Willie McCreary team. Willie, of course, famously very good footballer for Kildare back in the day. He went for Versatillo, and the odds haven't actually really reflected that, JD. Versatillo is still a lot bigger than Jancis, who a lot of judges in racing, or a lot of handicappers, to borrow the American term, they really like her because she has finished with rare effect in both of her starts. And even the last day when she beat Blue Drum at Leopardstown, the horse who was third special one went over for Pat Foley and won in America since. I love a horse that likes it around Leopardstown, going back to Leopardstown, because it is quite a unique place. And with turn of foot. 10 years on from Faisal Anna winning the race, providing Willie McCreary with his first Group 1. I still like her, but I am worried as to why Declan McDonagh is obviously riding her and Billy Lee isn't.
Yeah, Fallen Angel and Yances were the two I put into my notebook from the race going through all of the horses. I think Ylang, you can't discount connections, but has to prove it on basis of form. A Fallen Angel won the Irish 1000, not seen since May. Don't know if that's a positive or a negative. Hard to pin down this one. Won the Moy Glare Stud Stakes last year as well. So, to be honest, in this one, it's a watching brief for me, Johnny. I'm not going to have a bet or recommend a bet on this one, the Matron Stakes. Then we have over at Doncaster, the St. Ledger. A good to soft ground, 3:40 on Saturday, 1 mile, 6.5 furlongs, 7 runners. I actually kind of going against the top horses here. I'm going against Illinois. There's two I like here. Sunway won a Group 1 as a 2-year-old at Saint-Cloud, then flew home for second in the Irish Derby behind Los Angeles. Didn't have the pace to challenge in the King George. But I think among 3-year-olds now, back among 3-year-olds over a longer trip, I think Sunway has definitely got an each way chance, as does Dara Mile at about 16-1, fourth in the Epsom Derby, beaten 7.5 lengths staying on. I'd be going against the top horses here. I'd be going against the Ballydoyle horses. I'd be looking at Sunway and Dara Mile. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, I'm going against the Ballydoyle horses, albeit not with your selection. So we have an interesting
You've gone for the filly, have you?
I haven't actually, and I am. I mean, it would have been great if we have the 8 runners. You can get if you shop around, you might be able to get 3 places. I'm going with Grosvenor Square here, JD. And you'll
that
remember
is Ballydoyle.
If you're, sorry, it's Ballydoyle. It's not the main two,
yeah,
though.
Okay.
So basically, Illinois and Jan Brugel are. Grosvenor Square has gone out to be the apparent third string for Ballydoyle. Now, that's a worry for me, obviously. But this horse's performance the last day was insane. After the Tower of London race, I have to be honest now. I felt that surely you're not going to produce that performance again. Was sent off 1-2, and in behind at the curve was Absurd, who may have needed the run, but also backed up the form the following day. And A Piece of Heaven, who was a very good horse and was race fit. This horse absolutely destroyed them. He didn't even go off necessarily that hard, but he won by 20 lengths. Now, the runner-up ended up being a horse that was a long prize, but this horse as a stayer is only getting going. And with Jan Brugel and Illinois in the race, obviously Aidan is going to have a big say in the race tactics. But he did say after the race the last year, I thought it was quite a notable comment. He said it's very hard to know what to do if you're another jockey behind him, because if you go after him, as Tower of London didn't do the first day, you can basically fall into a hole, as happened with Absurd and A Piece of Heaven. Tower of London won from an extraordinary ride from Ryan Moore. Maybe he just had the ability to, but if you go after this horse, he can burn you. And he's a stayer with speed. He's relentless. Doncaster's big straight going to suit him big time. I look at the ground today, good to soft. Probably won't dry out that much. And Gavin Ryan riding it. To be honest, I had no idea who was going to ride this horse, because I knew with Aidan having those horses obviously in Leopardstown, who's he going to ride? I knew Sean Levy would ride one. I expect him to ride this. Best of luck to Gavin Ryan. I can't wait to see this horse run. For me, he's overpriced.
For our Meg Manor Double J, we'll get to that in a moment. So we're both going to Laytown on Monday, the racing on the beach, the only time in the year it's done. Don't believe it's done anywhere else in Europe anyway. This is up in County Meath, so hold on to your hats, folks. You might see myself and Johnny up at the beach on Monday, Laytown, maybe trying to back a winner or two, or maybe even trying to have a pint.
Well, I dare say the latter will be more achievable than the former. I've been to Laytown where, you know, it's just the 6 races, I think. And most years it's only the 6 races. Just looking here now on Monday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6 races, and it's nicely condensed. And I have gone there, I have to be honest, I have gone there some years where I haven't backed a winner, but it's totally unique, JD. We're leaving from the Harold House in Harold's Cross. We'll be back for the Trad afterwards, where there'll be men and women of all walks of life going there. I even had a mate from England who wasn't making the Champion Stakes, works for Racing TV, and on hearing that I was going to Laytown said, I'm very, very tempted to go to Laytown. I think he's going to Laytown as well. It's unique. It's brilliant crack. The betting ring is vibrant. There's actually not a bad standard of horse there. The smell of the water, the sound of the horse thudding in the water, and you get to meet me and JD.
You've sold it, Johnny. Laytown on Monday. Over 150 years of racing on the beach. So, folks, you know what to do if you're around that area on Monday afternoon. McManus Double J, Ghost Rider, the one for me, Johnny, in the Champion Stakes at Leopardstown on Saturday at 8-1 each way. What's yours?
I'm going to go Grosvenor Square in the Ledger at a good price as well.
About 6-1 for Grosvenor Square at the moment in the Ledger at Doncaster. This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Sunday's Champions Festival races at the Curragh, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.